This morning's scripture reading is taken from the New Testament, the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 28 and 36 through 40. These verses read as follows. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required of the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking to Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus's parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So, what is happening here? We know that the parents are taking Jesus to the temple for something. And there's actually several things happening here. We have the old and the new coming together in this particular scripture in a lot of ways. We have the brand new baby. We have Anna and Simeon who are nearing the end of their lives. We have the ancient Jewish traditions, which are old. And with the birth of Jesus, we're starting the whole New Testament and a whole new religion, a whole new faith, a whole new thought system. So we have all these things coming together. And we've been talking about baptism right here this morning. And that's something that we do as part of the new covenant, as part of what has happened since the coming of Jesus. Baptism started after Jesus was born, as far as we know. There was probably some baptizing earlier, but the first we hear of it in scripture is John the Baptist. And he, being just a few months older than Jesus, is his contemporary, and he starts baptizing before Jesus starts his ministry. So we have that 2,000 year history of baptism as something that we do, but they didn't have that. That's not what Jesus was being taken to the temple to experience. Jesus was going to the temple because his parents were good and faithful Jews, and there were a couple of things that were happening at this point in the child's life. One is he's a boy child. He's 8 days old. This is the eighth day after the birth, or tomorrow is actually. And so it's the feast of the circumcision because that's what happened. Whatever day it was, including the Sabbath, on the eighth day after a child was born, a male child was born, he was taken for circumcision. So this is the Feast of the Circumcision. Also, as we do when we baptize, which we sometimes call christening, which is more a matter of giving the name, but we often associate the formal giving of a name with the baptism. And that would have happened also with the circumcision. And of course, we know Jesus had lots of names, but the name Jesus was the one that was applied here. And so the 1st of January is also recognized, along with, you know, in different traditions, other early days in January, as the Feast of Holy Name. So we have those things happening. Now, there was also something in here about every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord, and they shall offer a sacrifice. What's that about? Well, that goes way back to Leviticus. And if you recall, Leviticus decreed that the first fruits belong to God. So that meant the very first of the crops, the very firstborn of the herds, and even the firstborn male child belonged to God. Now, the way that the flocks and the herds and the fields' first fruits were given was they were taken to the temple and sacrificed. So the grain was offered up on the altar, the wine, the oil, the animals were offered up on the altar, and that meant that they were slaughtered. Now, God was not into human sacrifice ever, ever, ever. And so the firstborn male was redeemed, was still holy to the Lord, but was redeemed by a sacrifice and then raised by the parents. And the sacrifice depended on what your financial circumstances were. If you were a wealthy person, the sacrifice for your firstborn male was more hefty than if you were a poor person. And Mary and Joseph were poor people, and so their sacrifice was very small. It was a pair of turtle doves. So that's what's happening here when they're going to the temple. And so they're just doing this because this is what the parents do. This is what's required by the law of Moses, the law that God has given them. And then they have this encounter with Simeon and then with Anna. And we've been talking about godparents in our conversation and using words like caring and guidance and godly example. And listen to the way that these two are described in the scripture we just heard. Simeon is righteous and devout, and he has had revelation from the Holy Spirit and guidance from the Holy Spirit. That's a pretty good set of qualifications. And then there's Anna. Oh, and last thing, Simeon was praising God, always part of this. And then there's Anna, and she essentially lived in the temple. She was there day and night. She was worshiping, she was fasting, she was praying, and she too was praising God. It would be hard to find a more appropriate set of godparents for a child than these two longtime faithful people who were there in the temple. No coincidence that they were there in the temple when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus in there. And so they come and they, there's an element of prophecy about both of them. They know the prophecies. They're waiting for the fulfillment of the prophecies, and they speak in accordance with the prophecies. So they're there. Excellent candidates for godparents. People who I don't want to say stand in for God, but who are used by God in the raising of a child, because it does take a village. Those of us who have had children know that it's not something that you want to do on your own, trying to raise a child without help, without support, without assistance. And it's important who you have to be that support and assistance. So That's why when we do baptisms, we do it in the context of the entire congregation. We do it and we engage the congregation in, yes, I will support and guide and pray for and do all in my power to assist this person in their life and in their life of faith. And we say that whether we're talking about babies or children or youth or adults of any age. And sometimes we say it with people who are nearing the end of their life, and it's still just as valid and just as true. And then at the end of all this, I'm sure Mary and Joseph were a little bit overwhelmed. I mean, they just went with their offering of turtle doves, and here were Anna and Simeon, and just overwhelmed them with all of this. Or, we know that Mary's inclined to take these things and ponder them in her heart. I'm sure she did that as well. And I suspect Joseph did also. And they've done everything that's required, and then they go back home. And the end of all of this is that the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Remember what happened 9 months ago. The angel appeared to Mary and said, "You are favored by God. You are favored by God." And this child is favored by God and grew and became strong, just like we all want for all of our children. We want them to grow and be strong and healthy and wise and good. And that's why we have the experience in the temple, in the church, in the congregation, the godparents, the family, the friends, the support. So God didn't just call Mary favored because she was the chosen vessel for the birth. Mary was not just somebody who was ritually, physically, whatever, clean enough, pure enough, good enough to nurture the unborn child and give birth. Mary was also chosen for her other qualities, her strength, her faithfulness, to be the one who raised that child. And Joseph was chosen to be those things. Joseph was not the biological father, but he was chosen by God to parent that child. And Anna and Simeon were chosen to nurture and support that child. So God chose Mary for the physical act of having the child. And God chose the family for the task of raising the child. And God chooses all of us, whatever age we may be, with the task of raising all of God's children that come to our path. And the best place to encounter one another is in the context of the congregation, is in the context of the worshiping community. That's where we find the people who have lived a long time in faith, the people who are just beginning in faith. That's where we find our godparents and sisters and brothers and one another. And that's a great gift. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Amen.